This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wouldn't you like to take a vacation from your bills? Well, you can. With credit card balances at an all-time high and Golden Oak's 5.25% rate, you could be saving thousands of dollars after a simple phone call. Call today and get your cash in as little as 14 days and make no payments for 2 months. Visit GoldenOakLending.com to speak to someone today.
Golden Oak Lending cured my blues.
6.19 APR, FHA, 15-year, 20% equity qualified credit. Additional terms apply. NMLS 114937.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter on X at JWright929ESPN. As always, you can listen on the radio dial 92.9 FM or 680 AM. But if you're stepping away from the radio and you want to stay up to date with everything happening at the station, download the free Odyssey app. Free to download, free to listen. You can stream live anytime, anywhere, and you can also listen on demand. Dennis Fuller producing the program for us. Glad that he is with us. My co-host, as he is each and every Wednesday, is the MC of Fun and Games here in the Memphis area. Also the host of Writer Than Right Trivia Thursdays on the Jeff Calkins Show, 10:30 a.m. for that. His website, CerritoEntertainment.com. On Twitter, on X, at Cerrito. Kevin, good day, sir.
What's up, Jeffrey? We're into March. It's exciting. So we're talking lots, of course, basketball. And, of course, going to fill a little wrestling, too, because it's mania season. And, my goodness, maybe the biggest wrestling story in a long, long time. I think since we'll talk about it. We'll talk about it later. It's I can pinpoint how long it's been since we've had a story this big.
Normally,
I would say Taker losing at Mania. I'll just go ahead and say, since the Undertaker lost at WrestleMania, this is the biggest wrestling storyline moment.
Yeah.
More than likely.
And this even feels like it.
Well, because it could impact you, even if you haven't been watching,
sure.
You know what this means when you hear that it happened.
This, I think, yeah. Penetrated,
you know,
the zeitgeist much more. So we'll discuss that in just a little bit. Also want to start with some Tigers and Grizzlies. Grizzlies tonight, we got a late one, 8:30.
Woo!
Start time, ESPN broadcast. Pre-game will start right here on 92.9 FM ESPN at 8 p.m. Eric will have tip-off at 8:30. Grizzlies taking
this
on
the
Thunder.
This is a home game tonight at 8:30, right?
Last home game of the five-game homestand.
Of the five-game losing streak. Because, I mean, like,
it's a three-game losing streak. It's a three-game losing streak by a combined total of 5 points.
So start in, we're going to make it a sandwich with losses in the middle.
Correct.
Wins on the outside of this five-game.
Right. Bookends with wins.
Yeah.
And this obviously would be...
Right there in the middle with some juicy, devastating losses. Yeah.
Potentially the biggest win of the season. Well, that's how we're going to choose to look at it.
8:30 start.
8:30 start.
Whew.
You can hear pregame at 8 on and tip-off at 8:30.
If you're going to have an 8:30 start, might as well be two Central Time Zone teams, right?
Yeah, the 8:30 ones are tough.
I'm saying there's no advantage for the other squad.
Of course,
I think there's always an advantage if you've got a late tip.
I don't know if you saw this one last night. Arkansas and Vandy, the SEC Network a few times this season did a triple header on a weeknight. So they had a 5 p.m. Central, a 7 p.m. Central, and a 9 p.m. Central start time. Vandy and Arkansas tipped at 9 p.m. last night.
Cal's still playing it no matter what time it is, as long as it's on national TV.
It was the SEC Network.
I know, he has to be on that. Yeah, but sure, it was only SEC Network, that's right.
Which is technically...
I've cut the cord. I don't even know. The SEC is it's on. If I had cable, if I had Comcast, I would have that or not. I'd have to pay extra.
I think if you have a certain tier,
you have it.
I have to have the sports tier to get the SEC network in SEC country.
Correct.
That ain't fair.
That's how they get their money.
And what about the American Athletic Conference Network? Do we get that on?
If you get ESPN Plus, sometimes you can have that.
Sometimes you get that.
If you also have internet, which I don't right now, that's been awesome.
Oh, no.
Thankfully, though, to my heroes at DirecTV, I was able to at least watch.
Is that storm weather related? It's been very windy.
I think it was prior, but I'll find out at 4 p.m. today.
You know, that little wind, it's been a long time since I've scrolled through the forecast, and like it's been the little wind symbol. Yesterday, today, it's popping up all over.
I'm on solo dad duty as well, so my wife was driving for work to Louisiana, and I told her, I was like, hey, it's windy out there. I was like, it's more than just like, okay, the wind's blowing. And she was like, driving down, she was like, it was like moving my car. She took a rental car, so... I will find out.
Be safe out there.
At 4 p.m.
Be safe out there. You can still, you know, stream 92.9. Mm-hmm. You can pull out the old radio.
I mean, I was watching the Tigers on my cell phone last night.
Right, which is such a more common thing. Like, you know, it's always frustrating. I'm out at these bars and restaurants. This side note, maybe we should save this for TV timeout. But you know, one of the problems with like the Grizzlies being on the app and all of that, and you know, they announced they're going to have those TV games coming up. On Channel 5. Like, being on the apps is up, it makes it so hard to watch games like at restaurants and stuff these days. And it's just become commonplace. I'm a trivia or a bingo night. I was a Huey Southwind last night. Like, people are watching the games they want to watch on their phone. It's just like, they're like, I'm not even going to ask to change the channel because they probably don't have it. I'm going to pull it up on my phone.
Well, there's no question. A huge issue is if your league has a streaming, part of their deal is streaming. So, you know, sports bars.
The community part of the sports bar or getting new fans or new people interested who would not watch. And there was not a game last night, but like I would have even been on. I don't know. You know, I don't know.
Well, like I know the NFL, when they made the deal with Amazon for Thursday Night Football, the exclusive Thursday night game, part of. So if you live in a local market, like let's say we're in Nashville and the Titans are playing on Amazon Prime.
Can we just do a hypothetical where Memphis has a team? Like, let's say Memphis has a team. Let's say the Hound Dogs were playing.
Let's say the Hound Dogs are playing, and they're playing on Thursday Night Football.
Right.
The NFL cut a deal, much like we're seeing with the Grizzlies and what they're going to do with those five games, where it airs on a local channel. And
the Amazon games are airing locally.
And part of that, though, was for bars.
So they could have,
because, you know, hey, we can't just... put Amazon Prime on every single TV in our, you know, we need some other option. And like, that was a big part of it. And I mean, this is, we can maybe talk about a TV timeout. A Ohio State Senator made a motion, to remove Ohio State games from any streamers. Now, good luck with that.
Right.
That's not going anywhere, but I mean, this is becoming, I think this is going to play a part in the, I think everyone is doing the, when they think about conference realignment, okay, well, everyone's just chasing the money. I think it's entirely possible there is going to be a pumping of the brakes because part of when everyone's trying to book the ACC teams to either the Big Ten or the SEC, part of that is going to be either Fox or ESPN going, yeah, sure, we'll kick in the same amount of money. Like when Oklahoma and Texas go to the SEC, ESPN signs off going, they get the full share. We'll just add that money on top of it. Some of these teams, they might go, listen, you can add them. We're not going to throw in another $150 million a year. You can add them, but you're just going to split the same money. And that's where most of those schools would be like, okay, cool, we don't need to add them. And so... a part of this is the how much money is going to be available. Like we've already seen ESPN is cutting Major League Baseball.
Right.
Although some people believe that that's a negotiation. But still, what we do know is ESPN's not going to pay $550 million for Major League Baseball. And they're going to cut F1, most likely, where they've been. Like these companies are making business decisions. And so that could be a part of it. But we'll get into that during TV timeout. We'll get into the list as well. I've had some NFL news today, including a surprising retirement. We also have another wide receiver requesting a trade. We'll get into all that. CJ Hurt's going to join us during the second hour. We'll tell your story, and then we'll get out of here. But let's get into Buy, Sell, Short, or Go to Reddit. All right, Kevin. Let's start with the Grizzlies. Buy, Sell, Short, or Go to Reddit. The vibes around the Grizzlies are worse than the actual Grizzlies.
That's interesting because, I mean, the Grizzlies seem to be doing all right in the standings still, right? They're okay, right?
Okay, they're
in the playoffs.
They're in fourth.
Got home court, right?
Correct, as of right now.
Right. So, I would say the Grizzlies themselves...
A game and a half out of second, and I believe a half game from third.
So, I would say the Grizzlies right now are doing fine. The vibes... not doing great. So if you're asking me, are the vibes around the Grizzlies worse than the actual Grizzlies themselves? I would buy that. And, you know, a lot of times, Jeffrey, we don't, things don't bother us until they happen to us, right? Like, you don't care. I don't care about the tariffs until you realize, oh, wait a minute. I'm going to have to pay how much for what now?
Right. So you see the impact on your wallet, usually, yeah.
Right. Until you don't care until it happens to you. And when you have three consecutive home losses, like, this is not, oh, the Grizzlies lost last night, a 9:30 tip in LA, I was asleep.
Yep.
I didn't see it. No, I paid money for a ticket, for parking, for concessions, and I sat there and I watched the Grizzasters happen in front of me.
Yes.
Like, this is like, when you have three consecutive home losses, like, the impact on, it's personal in a way. So it impacts the vibe and your mood and everybody's across the board. So I feel like because of how this is playing out, there is, and maybe it's just me, I do also feel like there is a noticeable shift in confidence for the coach. Over these, they should win tonight, but Jeffrey, I mean, what's the spread? They're
9-point dogs.
9 points?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Lord. So,
I would say they can win.
It's a fantasy that we've got a sandwich situation here. They're not going to bookend this. They're going to have, what do you call something where it's one win with four losses stacked on top of it? What do you call that?
A good opener?
Yeah, maybe. But, my goodness. So, yeah. So, it's not looking great. And but the great thing is, I mean, some people will be at FedEx Forum tonight, but many of us will be asleep.
Yeah, I think I'm going to buy it, too. Because let's lay it out in these terms. The Grizzlies were, until Monday night, one of three teams that had not lost three straight games all season. 30 teams play in the NBA. There are now two that have not. Okay.
That's good. That is a huge signal of why maybe the coach shouldn't be fired, because he's been able to maintain a course of direction with this team. Like, things didn't spiral out of control, because it can happen quickly.
You'll sometimes see this, though, in sports, where I think Taylor Jenkins exceeds expectations during the regular season in particular.
Yeah.
But that also sometimes works against you, because when you exceed expectations in the regular season, oftentimes what happens is you end up being seated above where you probably where your roster would suggest it should be in the playoffs, and you can get beat by a lower seeded team. And anytime that happens, we overreact. Well, you should have won that. You were the 2 seed. Where I think, though, the issue that I have with Taylor Jenkins' criticism is it's unclear to me how much autonomy he has. When you watch the Grizzlies compared to the rest of the league, they feel very scripted. If you look at Taylor during a game, you notice how he always has that fold-up sheet. It almost looks like he has like a smaller version of the NFL coach's play sheet.
Right, yeah.
And it like folds up. It's like laminated, whatnot. My guess is that's rotations. And it reminds me a lot of like watching the Dodgers with Dave Roberts, where he's got this binder that basically just scripts out the game. And all right, when this hitter comes up, we're putting in this pitcher, and it feels very scripted. Where he clearly has some discretion is, okay, well, somebody gets in foul trouble, we got to make an adjustment. Somebody gets hurt, we got to make an adjustment. And then obviously he calls timeouts, he runs the huddles. So it's always unclear to me how much of it is him versus an organizational viewpoint and really the front office. Do I think not calling a timeout to avoid the 8-second call on Friday night was a mistake? I do. Like, do I think that they have some weird rotations? Sure, but I'm not convinced that's him.
Right. And if a coaching change, that's possibly not going to change.
I guess the way I would bottom line is I don't think Taylor Jenkins does anything without front office approval.
And if that's the fact, then his job is not in jeopardy, barring a huge mistake that's in the playoffs, is from what I would guess, right? Because if he's following the instructions from the front office, they're giving him the instruction and he's following the instruction.
My suspicion, and maybe I'll
or they're working together for the plan.
My suspicion, and we can find out that I'm going to be wrong.
Yeah.
I think he's going to have a longer leash than maybe some fans would think. Now, what could flip, and has never happened before, is if the players turn on him.
And that's
not happened yet.
Right. The Grizzlies are in the playoffs. If the season in today, they got home, as you said, home court advantage. So, like, the team is doing well.
The team, like,
you don't fire your coach.
I believe the preseason win total, depending on where you saw it, was, I think, 43, 43 and a half.
Would it be better if he came up with some clever name for his rotations that we don't understand? I mean, because we all got behind Hubie Brown and his 10-man rotation and his philosophy on that.
Well, like the lineup of death.
Yeah. Do we just need a name?
A marketing. Right. Do we need to bring in a marketing specialist?
Yeah.
I don't know about you. I would be opposed to that because in this era of the Grizzlies, the para Wexler era,
yeah,
I don't love when they try to come up with slogans. They all feel like,
oh, it'll be on the ground.
Next
pal.
Gen, like
the NXT thing. I still don't understand. I was like, what is this? Triple H is somehow involved with the Grizzlies or Grin NXT? Whatever.
I just firmly believe when you try to heavy-handedly make something happen, that's not great.
Especially what has been so awesome about this team is that it naturally happens quite often. You know, in Memphis for the Grizzlies.
Like, grit, and grind was just an off-the-cuff comment from Tony Allen in a post-game interview.
Right. So much can come from it. And so much has happened with Ja, right? Like, from Ja's, like, you know, call 12 and all of that. Like, the stuff that just let it happen organically.
Call 12 is organic.
I'm
trying to think, what were the other ones?
So there's organic stuff out there currently with this team that could be utilized. But, yeah, what is this year's slogan? I forget. What is this year's slogan? Why don't I know what it is? But yeah, the next gen was the most recent because that to me just like it's just the current gen now. They were even using a little late.
There was another one for the playoffs 2 years ago that I was like, ugh, gross.
But like we didn't have playoffs last year, so we didn't have Growlithe, so it's not as fresh on our on the mind.
Yeah, we all tried to just erase last year from our memory. But to like the larger point, the Grizzlies are likely in the regular season to exceed expectations, and what happens in the playoffs, like that's the other thing about when you look at the West, I think part of the vibes is also this. Number one, Ja's been in and out of the lineup. No, there's no denying that. Secondly, you just saw Jaren get hurt in like the first 90 seconds after playing 56 straight games. So that's going to have an impact on everyone. And then, coming back from the All-Star break, they haven't looked good. They haven't played well. And I guess where I kind of look at it is, I believe this is them playing the worst that they're going to play. But I do not believe...
Well, wait a minute. But you're predicting they're going to lose tonight, so that's going to be 4 in a row.
Right, but I'm saying they're...
We're in the middle still.
Their current form, I think, is the low of the season.
Because it's going to get worse tonight.
But I think oftentimes...
But they could win tonight and erase this entire conversation. But, yeah, 9-point dogs.
Well, it's like the way that I view... Oftentimes...
It's Friday, you get the Mavericks, and we, you know...
Oftentimes when somebody's on a heater, Man, if he could just play like that, if she could just play like that,
right?
All world. The person's on a heater. Like, I don't believe that's the new standard. But we all, we as fans, when we see what you're capable of, we tend to go, well, just do that. And I think the opposite holds true of when you're in the midst of playing kind of crappy, you just think that's what they are. I still don't think that's what they are, but there are still a lot of paths to a first round exit.
And that's what I think these vibes are, right?
Like, yes.
When you experience what we've experienced over the last three games here, all because they're all home games, right? This is all happening at home. You're supposed to defend your home court. And you experience this, it doesn't give you confidence that the postseason is going to go well. But we don't know until we get there.
Exactly.
So that's going to be the true test. Like the idea that some reason that the coach needs to be fired, that Jenkins is done now. I think that's no, we don't. We won't know. He's going to be the coach through the playoffs, guaranteed. So let's just see how it plays out.
It's like, and I'm not, this is not even, I want to be very clear. This is not me calling out the fan base. This is me reacting to what I watch. And fans get to be, you get to fan the way you want to fan.
Well, and you should. Like I said, this is, it's
a sign
very
of caring.
Personal. Like, it's like you go to, look, your season ticket holder. Three back-to-back, like three losses have not happened consecutively this entire season for the Grizzlies, which is amazing. But like to have three happen at home, so you go to one, that sucked. Well, at least there's another game coming up tomorrow, and you go to that one, and they lose. Okay, well, we got another one in 2 days. Another loss. And it's like,
I think the other frustration that's included in that.
Beat you down.
Well, the other frustration that's included in that is one of those losses is Saturday night against the Spurs, and you didn't play four of your top guys.
Right. And how it happens is also
correct.
Still, because if it's something that, well, let's be honest. I mean, most people who watch these games don't believe in whatever you want to call this rotation. Like, but we're not the professional basketball coaches. We're not executives. We do not understand the game as well as the people that work for the Grizzlies. But from the outside looking in, we don't really understand exactly how this rotation thing is working. So if it's not working and we don't understand it, it's like, well, maybe you should do the one that makes sense. Maybe what's the way that everybody else always does?
I mean, to compare it to Penny Hardaway,
yeah.
When you do something that is against the norm, it better work.
It better work.
Because there's a reason why everyone else does it a certain way. So if you're going to play, like when Penny was basically doing like hockey line changes and was playing 12 or 13 guys, it had better work. Because when it doesn't work, everyone is going to sit there and go, this is you trying to be smarter than the problem. My expectation with the Grizzlies is that they are going to play a lot of guys during the regular season. But what we've seen with Taylor Jenkins is when they get to the playoffs, the rotations shrink. He'll usually play 10 in the first half, and then he kind of cuts it down to 7 or 8 in the second half. My expectation is that they will do that again, but I have no idea. But it's also the same thing with, okay, philosophically, we're changing our offense. All right? It's worked for Jaren. It's unclear to me if it's worked for Dez.
Right.
I think at best with Dez, you can go, it's net neutral. I don't think Ja's playing his best basketball, but is that the offense? Is that the fact that he's dislocated his hip earlier this year?
Had a whole season off last year.
Missed
got a
last
lot
season
of
with a shoulder.
On him and a lot of coming from a lot of different places.
And he's not, you know,
is he not flipping the switch right now? It's regular season. Is he wait? Like, there's some type of, you know, we'll see.
Well, and
I think let's get to the playoffs.
And I think
like you're right. Like all of this that we look at and we can criticize the problems with how what we see, but like it's unquestionable. Jaren Jackson Jr. is having the best season that he's had here with the Grizzlies.
No doubt.
And it's under how this operation right now that it's going right. It's under this coach and these rotations.
Well, and so, then I think the other aspect of this is we've been riding the Ja roller coaster.
Right.
You know, it hasn't been nearly as bad as it was, whatever, the Shotgun Willie's year. But it hasn't been, like, fun all the time. And to me, it's like, what I can't figure out is how much of his mood is being dictated by his body. Because I've been clear that...
Well, I mean, yeah, it sucks. Like a week ago today, we were talking about that the big Tuesday night win.
Yep.
That was like... Just Suns, everybody was so happy, and the mood of the city was so different a week ago. And it got followed up by this losing streak fairly quickly. But that's it can happen in the NBA. So, yes, today you might think something needs to be changed, but you know the playoffs are going to really solidify your thoughts on it. But you know we got to get there. And it's closer than you think. I mean, gosh, we're a little over a month, right?
No, and I mean, I think to wrap it up, I think the biggest issue is we all collectively – we don't know what to do about regular seasons because in the end, if this team finishes fifth but makes the Western Conference Finals, everyone's going to sit there and celebrate. But if this team finishes second and loses to a seven seed, even if it's a good series, let's say they lose to a seven seed in seven games, well, then everybody's going to sit there and go, like, what was all this for?
I mean, if you look at that's that's a, I mean, those are huge, big things that could happen that could just change the city's and the fans' mindset for the entire next for years to
could
come.
Change careers,
for, but you could change, but just everything. Like if you get a top seed and you get bounced out early, teams, fans, and all will continue this type of like just this on edge feel that we have right now with this 3-game losing streak. Right, like every year these 3-game losing streaks will matter. But if the Grizzlies somehow are 5, like you said, and they have success and they go to the conference finals, then maybe this time next year when this happens, we will be a little bit like, it doesn't matter. You know, it doesn't matter. It won't matter as much to you if this team is able to overperform in the playoffs versus underperform. But we haven't seen – it's happened one time with this team, you know, with the historic win over the San Antonio Spurs. Shout out to Shane Battier's 3. But, like, for this team to overperform in the playoffs – it does not happen very often in the NBA, but it does more now than before. It just does not happen much for the Grizzlies.
All right, buy, sell short, or go to Reddit. Winning the American is Penny Hardaway's best accomplishment of his coaching tenure.
You know, I was surprised when 92.9's own John Martin is tweeting out stats and writing columns about the fact that the Memphis has never won the American. You know, it's something you hear and then you forget about because the mindset is...
When you do hear it, you go, is that right?
Right. Like, what do you mean? Like, you mean like they haven't won the... Like, they've won the tournament, right? They've done the... Like, it's all a blur because all of it really honestly doesn't matter to the idea of, like, the comfort... The games matter, but you're like... It's just like... It felt like... It was expected when John Calipari was the coach that if he taught us anything, it was, and he didn't directly teach us this, he wouldn't say this, but like as Memphians, it was like if Memphis is in a bad conference, you know, the expectation is Memphis is going to win that conference. And this conference that they're in now has gotten worse and worse over the years. Jeffrey, we were talking off air before the show, going through how this conference, you know, was formed from the collapse of the Big East and stole teams from Conference USA. And, like, it was a strong conference at the beginning, one you could compare to the Metro or the Great Midwest or something. But then it deteriorated slowly and slowly as teams left every few years. And now it's to where Conference USA, worse than where Conference USA was, because you don't have Houston and you don't have some SMU, these teams that were in the old Conference USA. So it's worse now. But it started strong. So if you logically, it's wild that Memphis should all win every year. Memphis should be winning either the football or the basketball because they're going to be favored in both of them or closer. They weren't favored this year, right? They weren't favored to win the basketball conference. But
So they were not picked.
They
in the picked. Preseason to win. I do think they had.
The odds have changed.
The best odds.
Yeah.
I think when you were looking at Vegas, I think they had better odds than UAB.
So is it Penny's best accomplishment? That's the question. I feel like, I mean, it is a great accomplishment because it's something no Memphis coach has ever done, which is win this particular terrible conference. But, I mean, it should be the expectation every year. Just like, you know, his team's expected to win every single game. It's not fair, but it's how it is. You're supposed to win every game in your conference. We know you're not going to, but you're supposed to win every game in your conference. That's what the NCAA tournament committee is looking at. And as fans, it's just expected. And if you don't, especially if you're a casual fan, you're like, Memphis didn't win their conference. Why not? Ooh, geez, are they terrible? But now you don't have to worry about that. They won it. Congratulations. It is. It's not a parade on Beale Street type of situation by any means. But I think one thing to me, Jeffrey, I don't know. Is it his best accomplishment? I can't think of another accomplishment that's better.
So here's the problem. It's okay. The other ones that would be for consideration would be beating Boise, winning a tournament game. Beating Houston to win the AAC title the year that they lost to FAU in the first round.
Now, were they going to the tournament or not then?
They were going to the, they were in.
They were
by
in, no
that matter point,
what.
They were in. The other thing with that Houston game was Houston sat out a bunch of guys, but you beat the, Houston was the number one team in the country on that day.
Well, what about defeating the NCAA,
I would listen to that one.
That's an accomplishment.
That's a big one. Now, I also don't know how much teeth did the NCAA have, but I mean, that was a big win. I think I'm going to buy it, and here's why I'm buying it. Because what you said is true. This is the weakest form of the American that we've seen thus far. With that said, you still got to win the league. And you go across the board, if you look across the country, there is not a single league that has a team that's undefeated in conference play. You've lost twice. It's still a conference. You still have to go on the road. You still have to be everybody's best shot every single night. And it's a season-long race. And when you count them all up, you had more wins than anybody else. And there's something about because what we've seen in the Penny era is it's kind of been a roller coaster. Even like within seasons, it can be a roller coaster. What this signifies to me is the most stable Penny Hardaway season we've ever seen. And that's what this accomplishment embodies.
It definitely signals that this is different. We've said it so much this season that so many moments have happened that made it just feel like it's different, but you can't, you're not 100% yet. And so I'm definitely going to buy this, but I'm going to buy it hoping, Jeffrey, I'm hoping
that there's more to come.
Right. That you ask me this next month and I'll be selling it because there'll be something else that happens here in March that is going to be better. And, I guess it would have to be Sweet 16.
I think we'd have to be getting to the second weekend.
Yeah. If you get to the next weekend of the tournament, I think you're good. Yeah. So
because we've already,
we're
admitting that the win over Boise, now granted that gets colored because, all right, well, we know that they lost to Gonzaga despite having a lead at half. We know that that's how that changed. But it's like, yeah, there's something about just a 40-minute game. Like,
yeah, I don't, it's tough. Like, is it the biggest, how soon we forget to beat UConn, right? At the beginning of the season here. So, would you put the UConn accomplishment up here? It did set the tone for this season from the beginning and haven't really, obviously there's been a few bad losses where people have wavered, but again, set the tone that this was going to be a different year and led to this. But
to me, why I like this one as his best accomplishment is because we've seen Memphis under Penny Hardaway in big games, they usually show up and they've won big games, but it's usually been win a big game and then
if they would have won the Maui Invitational.
Yeah, to me, I think that's probably a little different because at this point you would have a win over the presumptive number one overall seed. You would have beaten,
sure, but you just beat the back to back to back champions or whatever they are over there at UConn.
Correct. You beat the twice defending champions. Although, as the season's played out, we've realized that UConn's not a Death Star. They're still a good team, but they're not the Death Star. I mean, honestly, you can make the argument the biggest win of that's Michigan State. Michigan State's winning the Big Ten.
Looking back. But if we tie in vibes.
The UConn win.
The UConn win.
All right. Buy, sell, short, or go to Reddit. John Cena's heel turn at Elimination Chamber was the biggest in pro history. Pro wrestling history.
All right. Yes. So I am the go-to pro wrestling expert here at 92.9 ESPN. I love this, man. Saturday night was awesome. We talked about how it seemed like there was some things that Cena was planting in some of his interviews that this might happen. For those who don't know, John Cena has announced his retirement from professional wrestling. He's going to retire at the end of the year.
It's a Coach K tour.
Right. So he's supposed to be doing, in theory, he'd be doing, yes, the WWE version of the Coach K tour, going around and saying his last goodbye in different cities, doing his last Royal Rumble, doing his last Elimination Chamber, doing his last Mania, and all leading to his last match, which will more than likely be some type of premium live event special coming up in December. But anyway, so Cena's on his farewell tour. He has been a babyface his entire career in WWE, and many people, you know, pushed back for so many years against
Dr. Thugonomics was a heel.
Okay. Well, look. What's debate? Okay, since became successful.
Since turning face, he has never.
It's been 20 years.
There have been plenty of opportunities for him to turn heel.
His entire career is what I meant. Yes. So slipped up a little, but sure. And he was probably heel when he was wrestling in Ohio Valley Wrestling with Jim Cornette or something. But like for the majority of his career, since he became a main eventer, he has been a babyface, and people just want him to be a heel. But anyway, yeah. Last Saturday night, if you haven't watched it, you should watch it. It's the most popular video in the history of YouTube for WWE already. But The Rock being involved with John Cena and the champion Cody Rhodes. Is it the biggest? It's not. I'm going to sell that. It's not the biggest. Go ahead and sell it, because it's not as big as Bash at the Beach, but it is big. Hulk Hogan's heel turn was the biggest. This is this generation's one. And you could ask me, buy or sell, will we ever see something like this again in our lifetimes? No. I don't think there's a setup for this. You have to. It takes 20 years that this guy is on top of the business, and he is a babyface the entire time. Fans are booing him. They don't like him. Finally, he says he's retiring, and everybody's come around and be like, all right, well, fine. Well, I'm ready to appreciate John Cena, clap him, you know, and say goodbye, farewell, wave goodbye to him. And that's when he decides to turn heel. Now he's turning heel when we're appreciating him. But it is big, and it's awesome for this generation of wrestling fans to be able to experience this turn. It was not in any way that we predicted.
One of those weird things where, storyline wise, because whenever I would inevitably talk about what's Cena going to do at Mania, it's like the only thing that made sense was, well, if he turns heel and he gets slingshotted into something with Cody, if he turns heel, that makes sense. But you almost kind of dismiss it. You're like, but they're not going to do that.
True. Right. I mean, you'd be like, eh. No, like I said on this show, a few weeks ago, like they're playing. But you know,
when did it
like,
click
eh,
for you on
Saturday? Don't buy it.
When did it click for you on Saturday that this was in the cards?
It was real late. I mean, in the segment, but it was like Cena was still, you know, hanging out. It's like, this has got to go somewhere.
When they didn't, anytime Cena's on the card, they talk about it nonstop. Like they'll promo it in the middle of the broadcast. When we got to the Elimination Chamber and you realized they hadn't even really mentioned Cena, I did start to think, maybe.
But maybe that just could just mean it. He's going to win. You know, that just could have meant like, okay, he's winning, which he did. He won the Elimination Chamber, guaranteed him that shot. And he said biggest heel turn. So like the Hulk Hogan heel turn at Bash at the Beach in the 90s, which created the NWO and started a wrestling boom. This one is happening in the middle of what is a boom for WWE. They're most like as big as the late 90s were and as nostalgic as we were for those times, the mid to late 90s of Raw versus Nitro. They're doing better business now than they've ever done. And the ratings are up. It is nearly match. I mean, ratings for TV are totally different, so you can't do a side-by-side comparison. But we're in a boom period for WWE. So Cena's turning in the middle of a boom period instead of like at the very beginning, which the Hulk Hogan one was.
Or starting one. You know right. what I mean? Like
Hulk started it. And it was Hulk Hogan. And Hulk Hogan is still a bigger name than John Cena. And the Hogan one, he changed his look after that, which makes me wonder. We have not seen Cena yet. So what do you think Cena's new? Is he going to change his look? Is he still wearing jorts or is he?
I was thinking about this because my wife, when we were watching, she's like, The hairline
and is so, an issue.
And what we've seen, though, is...
But that never impacted Hogan at any
but
point.
But Cena
in his
has had bouts with the bad hairline, but he always goes and gets it fixed. I'm now starting to wonder, like, did he not plug up again because he was turning heel? I mean, the things that would be hilarious are, like, give up t-shirts, like, you know, no hustle, no loyalty, like all that stuff. I mean, he has said if he were to turn heel, like he would just not, like he would be the opposite of what he is. I don't know. I almost think like his heel turn is just going to be like, I was the guy that showed up every single night, no matter what, and now I'm just going to not show up.
Yeah. I mean, he's got, but he's going to show up, and he's probably just going to start wearing black jorts. That's my look. You know, Hogan changed his look from the, you know, the red and the yellow to the black and white with the penciled in beard that he would have. And really became what was so great about Hogan's heel turn is became Hollywood Hogan. Like his name changed. Like he really like,
no, he leaned
it was such a transformation, and we could still see that from Cena. But the thing with Hogan is that that created a boom period and it lasted for so long. The thing with Cena is we've got like a deadline on it. It really is like, he's going to be a heel. But it's like,
well, what
it's
if,
like for
what
9 months, it's like we got pregnant heel Cena. Like that's what we've got. We've got 9 months.
What if the retirement tour is part of the heel turn?
I mean, it could be. I still believe he's going to be done at the end of the year. Not ever, but could he come back for another Mania match or something? But I think he's done. Like,
I mean, I don't think he's going to be Ric Flair. Like, I don't think
a contributor. I think you could come back and do what Rock does, which Rock is not retired. Rock will wrestle when he can. And when he wants to. So I would Cena do that, yes. But I do feel like his regular full-time schedule, it's not a full-time schedule, you know, his regular contributing to storylines at random parts of the year that do not involve WrestleMania,
yeah.
I think that ends at the end of the year. And also, but shout out to The Rock. What The Rock did last year by turning heel, it probably showed Cena that you can do that and not lose your movie roles, not lose, because you could turn back. Cena could be a babyface again the day after Mania. This could just be very short, or it could go all the way through SummerSlam and he could turn back. He could be babyface by the time he retires. That's the great thing about it, is that nothing's locked in, and like it feels like Cena just, you know, wanted to test it. I think he's going to be awesome. I think he's going to be awesome.
See,
at it.
I'm not worried about it at all.
He's going
to
be amazing.
I think it's
at
a lot easier to script a heel than it is to like to truly be a babyface is really hard because you kind of have to be lame.
Well, but that's the thing. Like Cena got to that lame point. People were booing him. You know, let's go Cena. Cena sucks. Chance. But now he's reaching the quote unquote end of his career. He's got that respect. He was a really true babyface. It's hard to be that,
no,
right?
No, 100%.
Yep, he was really true. Everybody respected what he did for the business. And
well, what used to always annoy me about when people would shout at Roman, you can't wrestle, I would like scream, that's not my complaint.
You're getting shoved down our throats.
Right.
There's nothing about
you're
you that we're connecting.
You're wearing a bulletproof vest and you're supposed to be a face. That's my complaint. my complaint was never Roman's work. Like, if you watched him work, you're like, the guy can really, really, like, he's an unbelievable athlete. He's great.
And
wrestler.
He's awesome now. When he turned heel,
yes.
Like, his heel turn was needed. Cena's is not needed. It was something we've always wanted to see and we're getting to see. So it is awesome. I think it is needed, like, it will definitely help out the future of WWE. Like, if you're going great, you might as well keep going and get more buzz and more excitement and more new stuff. And heel Cena is going to give that to you. And is it the biggest? If that's yet to be determined. I don't think it's going to be bigger than what we saw with Hulk Hogan. But like there's nothing else that compares. Those are the two. There's nothing else on the list. It's Hogan's heel turn. It is, and it is John Cena's heel turn. And we'll can't wait to actually see more of it because he's already a meme, right? Like his face is a meme already.
Sunday,
from this.
Yeah. When I could not get enough of the Cena memes. Like I'm just like hitting refresh. It is though. Because we've been in a good period of wrestling, it's not nearly as bad. But it's like, I always just come back to like when like wrestling's at its worst and inevitably someone's like, why do you still watch this? Like, because there's going to be something good here. It's like 75% of getting kicked in the nuts, but the 25% that's good, there's nothing better. Saturday was like that reminder of when wrestling is done at the highest level, there's nothing like it.
Right. And when you have the collection of talent that has all of a sudden happened, right? The Rock's interest in coming back, his part, he's on the board now, you know, like he's super involved all of a sudden. The Rock is super involved. Vince McMahon is out of the picture. So like the idea of your talent gets more creative input and they also get to think outside the generic box and we're getting this true sports present. It feels different now when you watch these shows and you've got this collection of talent, the return of CM Punk, and you've got these other stars that, that they've been building in that interim from Seth Rollins to whoever, like, this is a big part of the, like, Cena's retiring. This, the magnitude of the talent that is currently on WWE television is unmatched and will not be matched again after this year if Cena is real serious about it. But who knows what he's serious about? Who knows what his motivations are? His chase now to beat Ric Flair's record that he's currently tied with is going to be very fascinating here, because he's got that 16 title reigns. Flair's got it. That's Cena's motivation to get number 17 and be the true greatest of all time.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, listen, I didn't
find TV.
I didn't think he was going to be at Raw on Monday, but I made sure I was there at 7 p.m.
Hey, shout out to CM Punk. That was
a great promo.
CM Punk, watch that promo too. Yeah. If you haven't seen Cena turn heel, if you're just a casual wrestling person, this stuff matters. It's very interesting. Cena turning heel, and then you watch CM Punk's promo from Raw. Woo.
All right, when we come back, we take our TV time out. FIFA has announced a halftime show. We got to discuss that and more from the world of watching stuff on TV. We'll do that next right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
If you have a locked AT&T phone, we're here with bolt cutters. T-Mobile will help pay off your locked phone and give you a new 5G phone for free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrier freedom.
Via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax and a $10 device connection charge. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement as due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5HourEnergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Grizzlies have partnered with Club Tales to give one lucky winner the ultimate game day experience for you and a guest. It includes access to pregame shoot-around, an autograph session, and a Grizzlies swag bag. Visit grizzlies.com/clubtales for more information on how you can win. You have to be 21 and older, and again, it's grizzlies.com/clubtales for more information on how to win that VIP access to pregame shoot-around, an autograph session, and the Grizz swag bag. All right, Kevin, time for our TV timeout. So we've got the World Cup coming up, not this summer, but the next summer. And, of course, it's going to be largely North America. But FIFA has announced that they want to do, at the halftime of the World Cup final, they want to do a halftime show. and they want to do it on the level of the Super Bowl halftime show. I did find this note funny that FIFA has enlisted the help of Coldplay to help book the act or whatever the performance is going to be. And then you contrast that with the NFL, which I believe uses Roc Nation, which is Jay-Z. Like that, I just think that it's really funny that, all right, we go to Jay-Z and it's like FIFA. There's something fitting about Coldplay being it. And then there's the question for me, like, okay, is Chris Martin booking it? Is it like Coldplay? All four members each have one vote? Like, how are we divvying this up? Is this going to catch on?
Great question. So when I saw this, I was like, this is, I mean, it makes total sense, right? Especially from a TV product for FIFA. Like, if you're trying to get, obviously, it's a big year, right? I think they see the opportunity of, like, if we really need to we can try to get as many American fans interested in this product.
It's really the one market they can't capture.
And this is their big opportunity. Yep. Having the games happening in the United States. So, hey, let's try to cater this a little bit to the United States. So they're going to – it's happening on July 19th. So it's going to be a little bit warmer than your – and it's because it's outside.
Correct.
It's happening at MetLife Stadium, which is going to be known – this is bizarre. It's going to be known as New York, New Jersey Stadium for the World Cup.
FIFA doesn't allow the sponsorship because they don't have the rights to it. It's kind of it's like a weird.
I don't know. How do they do that? They're so powerful that they can eliminate your arena stadium sponsorship. Like, that's bananas.
Well, they control the broadcast. Like, it's
how does it go to?
It'll still be Met. That's the thing.
So how does MetLife agree to this? If I'm MetLife, I'm money. Like, I'm paying to be
money. The rental fee.
So they're gonna get some money. They're not getting they're getting an extra check.
Right.
They gotta be. I mean, I figured they would be, but it's not coming from FIFA.
Well, it's also
who's it coming from?
I don't think. Well, no, probably is. They're gonna have to rent the facilities, and then I'm sure there's also.
I'm saying if you're MetLife, the company, not the stadium. I'm saying if you're MetLife, the company, you're paying to have the naming rights here. There's a huge event. Oh, this should be a great opportunity for us.
My guess though is,
like, the contract says, you call this MetLife Stadium. You can't have an event there. But I'm speaking on their behalf. But
well,
I feel
my
like,
gut says they're not gonna get rid of signage. What's going to happen is it'll just be referred to during the broadcast in the tournament as New York, New Jersey. So it's like,
but if they were doing the NCAA tournament games at FedEx Forum and they were like, well, you can't call it that. You got to call it Memphis Forum. It's the Memphis Forum during the tournament only.
I mean, honestly, it kind of shocks me the NCAA hasn't done that. Like, you know, like, have you ever media, if you're, like, let's say you get a bottle of water from the media room. Mm-hmm. You have to pour it into an NCAA cup during the
tournament. You do have to do that, yeah. Yeah. They do have some branding, but anyway, that's interesting. FIFA is so very greedy.
Need Coldplay to pull a Dick Cheney.
So what? Oh, to just decide. Yeah, so Coldplay,
we've done an exhaustive search, and the best one for this is?
Us. I mean, that's got to be your prediction. Is it Coldplay or The Field? Who are you taking here for the halftime show of the FIFA World Cup final?
I think you have to take The Field.
Yeah, there's a lot of options. But who do they have? Like, who will they be able to get? Will they be paying? Like, isn't that an issue with
So the Super Bowl doesn't pay, but it is also
the most watched
event. There's no other way that you could get that kind of exposure for that brief amount of time. For a while, what the NFL was trying to do was trying to get people to pay. This became a big deal when Katy Perry, so I think in Arizona, they wanted Katy Perry to pay, and she's like, no, I'm not going to do that. No one's done that. And that kind of set the precedent of the NFL was trying to move in that direction, and they shut it down.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, that's the other thing. It's like, with Jay-Z, it makes sense. Like, Jay-Z had an agency. Like, he represented all of these artists. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. I don't think of, like, Coldplay's a massive band, but I don't think of Coldplay as, like, a business entity that, like, is nurturing acts and bringing them along.
So that's happening in 2026, right?
Yeah, July of 2026.
I wonder, like, do you... Is it just going to be one of those type Olympic type of half? Is this going to be some type of showcase? Like, I remember watching the Olympics closing ceremony. It's like, we're passing the torch on to L.A., right? And it was like, so let's roll out Snoop and these cliche American acts.
Well, like, the funny thing, though, like, if you think about that closing ceremony.
Shout out to Snoop. I love him. But, like, isn't he just the most cliche? Like, we need an American performer. Well, let's get Snoop.
Well, it was like, that was during the middle of the Olympics when we got a buffet helping.
He was all over. He was Snoop. That's part of the reason we feel that way now. Because, like, it's America is now tied to Snoop because of that Olympic coverage. You're right. Because Snoop was the unofficial mascot of the United States of America Olympic coverage. Yeah.
And then, but like,
he was paid millions of dollars a day by NBC.
But, like, before that, when they were in Paris, like, it's a band that I like, but how many people had heard of Phoenix? And Phoenix was the closing ceremony, but it's like, okay. Right. Who is a French band that at least has had exposure to the American audience? It's like, all right, well, I guess Phoenix is going to play. And so they did. My gut says this will be one of those acts that will probably perform better internationally than it would here. But I don't know who that act would be.
Well, I mean, the opportunity to me, if I'm FIFA, it is your opportunity to get American eyeballs.
I mean, the coup for them would be Taylor's not done the Super Bowl.
Oh my goodness. What a move would it be? Because they could be paying. They could pay. They have some money, right? Would they pay?
They steal a lot of money, apparently.
Right.
I guess that was another lifetime.
Yeah, I'm not saying how they got their money.
Right.
But we know they have it. They have it.
They're getting some sweet Saudi cash. God knows how much was spent under the table.
No, that would be, imagine non-American football getting Taylor Swift for their halftime show instead of American football. That would be no doubt the biggest. Because who is there other big performers that we're looking at for the halftime show for the NFL that people have been throwing around recently?
So Beyonce's done it.
Gaga's done it, right?
Correct.
And then Katy Perry, as you mentioned.
Gaga did Houston. Katy Perry was Phoenix. Or whatever, Glendale. I'm trying to think who is the biggest act. That's the other question for me.
The biggest artists are Taylor Swift and Beyonce, and Beyonce has done it. Beyonce just did the NFL again, Christmas.
Honestly,
so you can't go. It's not till next year that this is happening, 2026. So I guess you could have Beyonce again, right? Did she impact the NFL? Do you think it mattered that she was there on Christmas Day or not?
Well, supposedly she got paid pretty well for that.
She got paid for that one.
Yeah.
Interesting. So they'll pay for that. Who paid? Well,
NFL, I think, paid to try to make it an event.
The
other thing is, like, when I hear Coldplay, it's like, all right, are they just going
to
take?
You don't want Coldplay. That's boring. Like, if you were trying to,
I don't hate Coldplay. I don't hate them, but
their Super Bowl was fine.
Yeah, it was very nondescript. But my thought is, you know, Coldplay reveres you too.
All right, here's one that might make sense because we like kind of think she's British anyway. Adele.
Is she big enough?
I don't think she's exciting enough, right? Her songs aren't like halftimey. I'm looking at the list. This has got to be an old list because it's got Rihanna on here. People who have not done the Super Bowl. Taylor Swift, Rihanna, of course, has done it. We've seen that. Cardi B. You know, Dolly Parton is in.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, hootball,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.